Welcome to Meta Strategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Professor M.S. Christian to the broadcast. He is the Joseph Handelman Professor of Information Systems and Innovation and Professor of Business Information Technology at the Ross School of Business of the University of Michigan. He's also the Faculty Director for India Initiatives at the Ross School of Business. He's co-authored the book, The New Age of Innovation, Driving Co-Created Value with Global Networks, co-authored by the late Professor C.K. Prahlad. The Economist and Businessweek magazines named this book as one of the best books on innovation in 2008. His research interests include business innovation, corporate IT strategy, business value of IT investments, metrics and measures for business process and software quality, productivity, and customer satisfaction. In January of 2000, American Society for Quality, or ASQ, selected him as one of the 21 Voices of Quality for the 21st Century. In 2004, he was selected as one of the top thinkers on business technology by Optimize Magazine, based on their reader surveys. His articles have appeared in Harvard Business Review, The Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Information Week, Sloan Management Review, among many others. MS consults to many companies as well, such as Ford Motor Company, NCR, IBM, and Nestle. MS received his degree in mathematics and computer applications from the University of Delhi in India, and a PhD in information systems from Carnegie Mellon University, where he was awarded the ICIS Best Dissertation Prize for his doctoral thesis on cost and quality considerations in software product management. I recently caught up with MS in his office in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and our conversation centered around World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed how best to develop innovation talent in the IT department and how to develop a culture of innovation. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we spoke extensively about the process of innovation, as well as a variety of other topics. MS Krishnan, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Well, MS, you're the co-author of The New Age of Innovation, a great book, and as well as a great number of articles on the topic of innovation. And as a lot of our listeners today come from the IT department, CIOs, reports to CIOs, and the like, I wanted to ask you and kick things off today with asking about your thoughts on the CIO's role in innovation. Are we yet to the point where the average CIO is an innovator of sorts, or is it mainly the undertakings of the leaders in that field?
Well, if you actually ask the way you ask the question, if it is the average CIO that we are talking about, then probably the answer of my answer would be no. However, there are leaders, there are kind of CIOs who are being very proactive in taking up innovation within organizations. But the answer to average CIO, in my opinion, they are not yet to the point because several reasons. Okay, it's both sometimes it's their pedigree and also how they've been nurtured within the organization. And the third reason I see is also, in some sense, their preoccupation, because a lot of times they get bogged down by a lot of these problems, issues, challenges, and keeping the lights on and just making sure that the systems are running. They have a significant amount of their time dragged by these things, and then hence they are not able to step up to the point where, you know, they are kind of contributors to innovations in the organization. But however, as I said, that's the answer for the average CIO, in my opinion. But if you look at top 10 percentile, where they do recognize that it is just mandatory, it is important for the CIOs to thrive, to survive inside the organization, that they be better part of the strategic thinking and innovation inside the company.
Excellent. And is this the sort of thing for those CIOs who aspire to be more innovative? What do you recommend to them? What kinds of activities can they undertake in order to push forward the cause for innovation led or at least fostered from the IT department?
I think I will first start with engagement. I think it's so important for CIOs and the direct reports in IT to be directly engaged engage with the business leaders and to be more aware of the business problems. First of all, they have to also understand the business model in terms of how they create value. And then this engagement, more direct engagement with business, in my opinion, actually is where it opens up ideas about existing business problems and also opportunities. Because, you know, remember, any successful innovation is mostly business driven. It's not technology driven. So you have to first understand business issues very well. You should know the business language and the lexicon for you to engage with business leaders. So sharpening the knowledge about acumen on business models and how the business works, and that's where I will first start. And then also the ability of IT leaders to be more collaborative with the business folks.
Speaking about the sort of culture of innovation, how is that something that can be created, especially if it's something that is not within the historical fiber of the organization?
Yeah, it's a very valid question. And sometimes large legacy organizations do face this problem that you're just asking, Peter. And in my opinion, I think there is always a first step. And the way I've seen organizations succeed is you have to start with experiments first, and you have to create that space for people to take some risks and take a different path. And at the same time, it is important to have a governance process so that you are able to take stock of things in terms of how the experiments went, have a time limit for them, and then make sure that you learn from the mistakes and you also celebrate the success. And that will actually send a lot of ripples inside the organization.
There are different schools of thought on how best to innovate, whether in IT or even beyond. The thought of creating a head of innovation, we're seeing certainly a great number more of chief innovation officers than there once were, and having a team that is dedicated to the task of innovation versus attempting to make this part of everyone's job. Do you lean in one direction or the other in terms of how best to set up an innovation organization?
Well, it actually, the answer depends upon the organization that we're talking about and also the stage in which the organization is, because sometimes I would not recommend kind of making a big announcement about a chief innovation officer, and sometimes it becomes very hierarchical and bureaucratic. It all depends upon, when I said, which stage the organization is on. If you're just beginning to start this, then I would actually kind of feed a lot of experiments and understand the, you know, challenges within the organization, and then celebrate the success and move from there to kind of slowly, you know, have a central team that actually governs these innovation efforts. Because the problem you run into when you kind of define a chief innovation officer and a big innovation group is, a lot of times I've seen that the entire organization then starts looking at this group as if these are the people who are going to innovate, and that's not going to happen, because set of central people sitting in one office, the corporate office, cannot think about all the problems. So there has to be communication and governance processes set up for, even if you have a small central office, how does it, is it going to communicate with different business units? And how is this process of information exchange to identify the opportunities and challenges? First, managing that process. Then the next step, when you identify some of these innovation opportunities, I think the second most important piece is, how do you govern that process in terms of who gets involved, how the teams are formed to ensure success and mitigate risks? And these are the processes, the governance, that becomes much more important in the execution. And then I see them as much more important than big announcements and things like that.
Excellent. I think it's interesting that you're focusing so much on process, for good reason. I think that there's this fallacy, perhaps you agree, that innovation is more art than science, as people dream up new innovations potentially that have never been dreamt up before. But obviously having a strong process in place can foster innovation and can ensure that whether it's small I innovation or large I innovation, that either can occur. Do you agree with that that statement?
I think you're right. I mean, I think we should separate out. But in my knowledge, if you look at innovation happening around, there are two different kinds, right? Some of them, you need some out-of-the-box thinking, or, something, some idea happens, 1 in 10 years, or somebody gets a great idea. And that's one type of innovation we're talking about. But what I kind of wrote in the book, what we wrote in our book, and is also about business model innovation. It is on a month-to-month basis, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, constantly identifying what are the challenges and problems that my customers, my employees, and my suppliers and partners face, and where is the opportunity for them to make their life easier and simpler, at the same time make the processes more efficient. I think that's where what we've seen in the last decade or so is technology is a huge play in, you know, making that successful, making that effective. And that's what we call as the business model innovation. And in that business model innovation, the way I look at it is process is very, very important.
Speaking of processes, there's a lot that's written about the need to be agile in developing innovations, of incubating ideas, of prototyping things, of validating the potential value and course correcting, or even shelving and canceling innovative ideas once they've proven that the hypotheses and assumptions, in fact, were not correct at the outset. Can you talk about the degree to which agile practices of one sort or another are important towards innovation?
Absolutely. In fact, since you talked about our book, I mean, you may recall in the last chapter of the book, we talk about how do you execute inside the organization. We say that it is actually a marathon, but it should be taken in 400-meter sprints. In the sense, you run a set of experiments, and you actually build clarity in terms of what you're trying to achieve in these experiments, and then pause, take stock of what works, what doesn't work, and sometimes based on what you learn from this, you may have to even change the direction you want to go. Right? You know, when you have collectively, you get a series of experiments, see that which gives you data in terms of what kind of, you know, changes work and or the direction which you're heading the business, is it right or not, then you may want to pull back on some of them. How fast do you kind of recognize that you're on the wrong path, can cancel the project? That's as important as celebrating the success.
That's great. From a people perspective, do you see the identifying people who are candidates to be involved in innovation something that organizations on average need to hire for, that is, hire people with past experience? Or is it something, are there factors that one can identify within the existing populace that would suggest that employees are candidates to become members of an innovation team?
Again, you know, that's a good question, Peter, and I would kind of restrict my answer to the kind of innovation that I study, which is technology-enabled innovation. Here, what I find is, of course, you got to look for traits that they are open in receiving new ideas, and they are people who are willing to take risk. And at the same time, I also find two distinct characteristics I think are important. Is they have to be curious to learn about new technologies. And it's not like, that doesn't mean that they have to be people who know how the technologies work or who know how to fix the technology, but they have to be very curious about, hey, this technology does this, so what? What does it mean to my business? Okay, so this kind of a curiosity about what is the new technology that is coming. So what if I have a GPS in my cell phone, and what does it mean to my business? You know, that's a different level of curiosity than understanding how GPS tracks the cell phones in different places, right? There are two different kinds of knowledge. I think it's important for you to first focus on the first one. And the second piece I find is talent that is passionate about both business and technology, right? That the passion about both technology and business. And I believe that talent that combines these two knowledge bases, I think they will be at premium in the coming years.
That's great. Again, you're returning to the very important theme that technologists be business savvy, since, of course, innovation needs to address business issues, not necessarily technology issues.
That's why, you know, in one of the previous questions you asked, what is it that the CIOs and the team can do? That's the reason I was connecting back to kind of, they have to take some proactive steps to select a few people inside the CIO team who they believe could be passionate about learning about business, and then start building this, nurturing this engagement with business.
And how do you create a sense of urgency? If there's not a feeling within the organization that there's a need to innovate, how does one foster that urgency within the employee base and even among the leadership?
I think the sense of urgency comes, you know, it has to be created sometimes in many organizations, you know, just because of the nature of the organization, it is there, right? In some organizations, if you ask me, what is it the leadership can do? I think we have to be making the team aware of what is happening in the outside world, in terms of how fast the industries are changing. You know, sometimes people working in the same job, in the same group, they become kind of trapped in their own well, because they don't have the exposure to the outside world in terms of how fast things are changing, other than, you know, newspapers or news media, if they pay attention to, right? So it is important for leaders to think in terms of bringing some exposure. And these days it can be done in so many ways, and electronic media and technology can help you so much. and we can have they can have start having forums in terms of how they discuss in terms of fundamentally various industries are changing. You know, established companies that 10 years back were considered as stable companies are actually the core of the business model is under threat now, whether it is Blockbuster or Borders or you name the few, you know, name any of the successful companies in the last 20 years. And we are in the midst of some drastic changes, but on a day-to-day basis, we may not be aware of that. So that is one way to bring the urgency. The other way to bring the urgency is in terms of, you know, create the passion about what are the possibilities of these technologies and how can we kind of improve the life of our customer, improve the value we create for customers or inside the organization itself.
You started to talk about some companies whose worlds have turned upside down. I wonder if you could take the opposite angle for us in providing a bit of context to what we're talking about IT leaders and who you're familiar with, who've developed innovations, who've created innovative teams. Are there some examples you can give us in terms of people and companies that you know?
Absolutely. See, I think, again, this question that you're asking in terms of, you know, but for me, when you take high-tech companies, be Google or Facebook, and, you know, the role of CIOs in these kinds of companies is very well defined. I mean, it's almost a necessity that they have to be proactive leaders and constantly looking at how can they innovate in processes, how can they innovate in business using technology, because the business function leaders and the business people inside these companies are also technologists in some sense, right? A lot of them. So that's kind of the given, actually. For these companies, you have to be on the fast track. But what is interesting is there are also some companies which we may think in terms of they are in a traditional business or, you know, manufacturing, retail, service industry and things like that, where even their IT leadership to foster business innovation is has never been as important as it is today, okay? And if you take, for example, Dave Barnes and UPS in terms of what they've achieved in the last, you know, decade and a half or so, coming from just a courier and a, you know, box kind of company to completely full end-to-end logistics providers, providing all the transparency to their business clients and consumer clients and providing opportunities for consumers to, you know, pick the 2 hours where they can schedule a time for a pickup of a package or something like that, which all these innovations, what I would call as intelligent applications of technology, okay, purely from the point of view of understanding either the experience of a customer or an employee or one of the UPS truck drivers, and they have done a fantastic job in terms of constantly getting input from businesses, from business people inside, and then looking at technology solutions. At the same time, what they have also done is, you know, so when you create a capability like that, you also have, that's where the critical piece of knowledge of both technology and business comes in there, because you have to make sure that you have the right architecture to support that agility and to support that urgency that is required. The other company is kind of, again, well known as the Walmart is a classic example, right? Because Walmart, what is interesting to me is that you take current CIO, I think Lord Roland Ford is the current CIO, or the people, you know, two or three CIOs before him too, they have a practice of seamlessly rotating technology or IT leadership with business functions. So the current CIO, I think Roland Ford, is senior vice president of logistics before coming as CIO. Because what is interesting is that you can see that a rotation of the leadership across technology and other business functions and makes it much easier to integrate technology into the way you constantly innovate in your business processes.
Good example. I wanted to ask you about trends, MS. We've spoken about some sort of general topics which could be considered trends related to innovation, but are there any particular ones that excite you as you look forward for the next 1, 3, 5 year time horizon?
Yes, certainly. I mean, in trends you can talk about in terms of, I can give you two examples. One, from a technology standpoint, of course, cloud-based architectures and cloud-based systems, I think it's going to be a trend that can drastically change the rules of the game, in the sense that I think if executed well, or if it leveraged well by vendors and other companies in the market, I think that this architecture has got the potential to provide all the capabilities that are now available to large companies, because they can incur those fixed costs and high levels of capital investment the same capabilities can now be available to small and medium organizations. So in some sense, that kind of leading to what I call as democratization of access to capabilities. So that's an interesting trend. And certainly there will be some hiccups there. There will be challenges to be met. There will be infrastructure issues. But over time, I think we will overcome that. The second trend I find is the organizational culture and also the ability of the organizations to understand more about their people, about their employees, about their ecosystem in which they operate. I think that's another big trend. To connect back to what I'm talking about, just imagine on one side of a screen, I put a screenshot of Facebook, okay? And the other side of the screen, I put a screenshot of HR interface of a HR module of a ERP system, right? What I'm trying to say here is both of them are systems about people. But then you can ask, how much time do you really want to spend on these two screens, right? Or how much time people spend on these two screens? There is a reason for that. It is not just the interface. It is also how the information is presented. Inside the organizations, we have been bogged down by capturing information about talent in a very transactional way in terms of storing their name, address, and cost of the company, and at best if you have some performance ratings of these individuals, right, whether it is any talent asset in the company. Whereas a talent in the company is really the ecosystem in which they thrive, the contacts, the network that they operate inside the company, the achievements they have in different projects. So what I'm saying here is, I mean, I look at a trend where inside large global companies, they'll start understanding talent the way we see it in social networks outside.
Very interesting. Yes. Well, good. MS, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives on innovation. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Peter.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information about these five principles and sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our editor is Chris Davis, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.